T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
You're just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle.
Come on!
Do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
Hour number 2, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning, letting us be a part of yours. We are talking Ducks Cruton. They have the number 3 recruiting class in the country after Dante Thornton, 4-star receiver out of Maryland, committed to the Ducks yesterday. He's 6'5", 205 pounds. My goodness, that's a big wide receiver for a high school kid. You know, those 6'5 mutants that are rolling around high schools everywhere?
Oh, they're out there.
Yeah. They're everywhere.
Just need to play football.
For show. And we're talking, why will the Ducks be Bama, not Texas or USC? Keep those texts coming in at 503-250.
85 scholarships. Play football. God, 85. Yeah. I got to give them some. These guys are like, I got to give these away. Can't find enough players.
Yeah.
Fastest way to get your college paid for is to play football.
Oh, really?
In sports, yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's a numbers game. 85 scholarship. Baseball, they can't. Baseball, you get quarter scholarships, half. Basketball, you get halves and quarters. And everybody wants to do that. It's like, oh, football, you got 85. 85, I have to get full scholarships.
All those teachers, they were telling me, apply yourself and do your schoolwork.
Well, we're talking about sports. We're talking about sports here, man.
I'm kidding. So keep those texts coming, and we'll revisit that as the show goes on. Coming up this hour, the definitive, non-negotiable, ever-changing list that you wait for every week. Cam Cleland's NFL Power Rankings at 7:30. And why Troy Aikman lied to you on social media yesterday. But where we got to start here is we tried to fix the Cowboys yesterday, and I think the only thing that we can come up with is Jerry Jones just stepping away. Well, they got more issues. Jane Slater of NFL Media, she was reporting yesterday that it is not all rosy and great down in Dallas, as there are players now stepping out and saying their team was not prepared for the game this past weekend against the Arizona Cardinals, and that the coaches are not good teachers. That's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. They just, quote, aren't good at their jobs, end quote, as to teaching the game of football to the NFL players.
Interesting.
Uh-oh.
Quite interesting. So let's look at who they have and some of the guys they have on staff defensively. Let's start with Mike Nolan.
Oh.
He's been taking a ton of hit. Tons of just bad press because he's been out of the game as a coordinator since 2013. That's quite a long time. Things have changed defensively. You have heard of this name before? Leon Lett, former Dallas Cowboy.
Leon Lett!
Yeah. You also have, stay with me on this one, Jim Tom Sula is the defensive line coach. Mm. Probably didn't know that.
Great. JBT, I did not know he was
He's
there.
He's a great defensive line
is
coach,
he?
Though.
Okay, all right. Okay.
That's what I've been told.
That's what I've been told.
Maybe, that's what I've been told.
That's maybe true.
He's definitely not a great head coach.
Okay. These are some names you might have heard. Also, may have heard of Al Harris. May have heard of Al Harris, former defensive back for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So guys that are on staff, you're immediately calling out a guy that's had tons of experience, Jim Tom Sula, Al Harris, Leon Lett, as much as you want to say.
What the hell's Leon Lett? Where's he coached before?
He's the assistant defensive line coach. Wow. Doesn't really matter where he's coached or what he's not coached. You have on the offensive staff.
Wondering where he's coached.
Okay, you have on the offensive staff. You have heard of this name before. Joe Philbin. He's the offensive line coach. Interesting, right? Former head coach. Former offensive line coach for Green Bay Packers. Former head coach for the Miami Dolphins. Got dismissed because of the controversy and the issues with the bullying that went on with Richie Incognito and that whole dumpster fire when Dan Campbell took over for the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, I've got Leon Lett has been with the Cowboys since 2011.
Yeah. And
this is a long time.
He's one of Jerry's boys.
Okay, you jumped the shark on me here. But that's what I'm trying to make the points of the majority.
He might be the only one.
Well, he's not the only one. Here's the bigger one. Okay, Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
Kellen Moore. Loyalty. And here's the final one that I think is a really good one. This one. Doug Nussmeier, which I think Doug has been around a long time. Doug is a good coach. He's been around.
Lake Ridge High.
Yeah. Okay, these guys, some of how you look and how you put together staffs were not fully put together by Mike McCarthy. So if you get recommendations from your owner of who to keep on staff and who not to keep on staff, now you keep a few guys, you make some adjustments, and things change. I have had friends and good friends that have been on Mike McCarthy's staff. So I know this for certain is that Coach McCarthy likes to change his staff every 2 to 3 years. He likes to shuffle. He likes to adjust because he likes to bring in new ideas and constantly get different types of things in here. He's not the type of coach that likes to just keep the same guys around and then hear the same echo chamber over and over again. So in this first year, we're going to see, and now I'm expecting this for the rest of the year, we're going to see the weeding out of some of the coaches, and we're going to start to see Coach McCarthy literally saying, these weren't some of my guys. The guys I did make a mistake. If we're looking at Mike Nolan, okay, we can make some adjustments there, but there might be some confusion in the building going on. We immediately already see the same thing that happens every year with Cowboys. It is that this is a power struggle of who's at fault and whose fingers are pointing, and it's got Jerry written all over it.
I mean, this is, look, it is one part. You can look at it and say that it is one part of Mike McCarthy, one part Jerry Jones, but these players too, man. I mean, my goodness, did they watch themselves on game film? Did they watch Jalen Smith on that DeAndre Hopkins 60-yard reception just give up? I mean, he literally just gave up. He was just like, whatever. Started walking behind the play as DeAndre Hopkins runs past him, right?
Right.
But, I mean, this is like the office meme of the Mexican standoff where they're pointing their finger guns at each other. And it's just a triangle of blame that can be pushed around. Because Jerry Jones is then going on and he's doing his interview saying, oh, I still got faith in Mike McCarthy. It's like, still got faith in him. Still, it's 6 weeks in. He's been the head coach for six damn weeks. Like, yeah. you shouldn't be having the, I still have faith in him. I've never had wavering faith. I have faith in Mike McCarthy. This isn't it. It's like there's seeds of doubt everywhere you turn with the Dallas Cowboys franchise, from players, coaches, to ownership.
Well, that's because you had high expectations, and there are expectations when you put a star in your helmet. That's just what it is. The Cowboys are America's team. They're the world's team. They're the team that everybody looks for. They're the gold standard when you put on Fox television. I mean, Fox has to play the Cowboys. They know it. Everybody understands it. Their star guys are former Dallas Cowboy quarterbacks. It's Tony Romo and it's Troy Aikman. Those former guys are part of what you look for, is that NFL needs the Cowboys to be good. And when they're not, they're everybody's story, just like what we like to talk about. But the fact that players are going to throw coaches under buses, I know when you're part of bad coaches. I've seen bad coaches. That's not it. The things that don't take any talent, you know what those are? Effort, hustle, desire, and fight. Those don't take any talent. Zero talent is involved with any of that. And that's what you have to do on Sunday. If you've lost locker rooms and lost players, it's because today's players are more front runners than ever. They're all about front. And when things go bad, just like what Aaron Rodgers did, they quit. Mentally quit. And you just have to weed through that. So remember, this isn't Mike McCarthy's group. He's got to have time to weed out some of the things that are part of that whole organization. And if he can, if Jerry allows it, it will be successful. If it's not, it's just another bump in the road for the Cowboys, and it's a continuing same cycle.
You know, it's one thing to have Rodgers and just say, all right, this game is gone away. It seems like these quotes that are coming out of Dallas, so it's a whole season that you're sitting there and saying, oh, gone.
Well, you lost your leader. You lost Dak. You're not going to replace Dak Prescott. Boy. those that think that he's not a good quarterback, he is a good quarterback. He's not great. He's not elite. And that's their leader.
Isn't that where leadership comes in? Like the Philadelphia Eagles lost Carson Wentz. They went on won a damn Super Bowl.
Absolutely. But that's the difference in how a team is built.
So okay? How do you fix the cracks? Like, I mean, now that you know that people are going to the media anonymously, which I think is Bush League anyways, how do you stop that so that this isn't something that's happening 10 more weeks into the season?
Oh, give it to Jerry Jones. Oh.
Knowing that that isn't an option, how do you stop it from happening the rest of the season?
Well, the side conversations are going to be hard to deal with because if you have fractures in a locker room where one player is going up to Jerry, and because Jerry's your dad.
Yep.
Okay, that's the thing is that you feel comfortable talking to Jerry. You could walk up into his office and go in at any time. You can call him on a phone. You can text him. He's that personable. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, hey, Jerry, man, today's defensive game plan, you should have seen what Coach was putting on the board. And that's what Jerry loves. He loves that kind of attention. He wants to feel a part of it. He wants to be in the group. He wants to be in the meetings. He loves that side of football. And that close connection gives freedom to players where you lose your hierarchy of power. You lose who's in charge. And if you don't get the respect of the guys in the locker room and you're always running to tell daddy when something's wrong, this is dysfunction. Garrett had the same stuff happen to him.
Oh, absolutely.
Over and over again. So did Bill Parcells. Okay. So did Wade Phillips. They all had the same things happen to him because the players started going, well, Jerry said. Can you imagine being in a business where you're trying to lead something and then everybody underneath you is constantly going over your head to go, well, Bill said, it's like, I'm the manager. Okay. If Bill is the owner, it would stand. And so that's where we're at. This is exactly how the Cowboys are built year after year.
Jerry Jones sounds more like mom and no, like Mike McCarthy is dad because dads, we know dads, you have authority and you want to have authority, but whatever mom says goes. So Jerry's mom and whatever she says is really running the ship. And it's like, hey dad, guess what? Mom said I could. And that's how it rolls in Dallas. Jerry Jones.
So you're calling Jerry a chick?
Yeah, no. He's just a mom. He just plays the mom role.
Oh, Jerry is a...
Gender is a spectrum, man.
I don't think Jerry's in the Omega. So you're calling Jerry the Omega?
I have no idea what that means.
Well, there's alphas and omegas. Oh. Usually the alpha is the one that is the tough guy, and Jerry's the one that
actually runs the family.
Well, okay, all right, he's in charge, so Jerry's in charge.
Mom. Yeah, that's mom. We all know that's mom. You know that's mom. Really? When you're at home?
I'm in an equal relationship. My wife and I know this. We know this. We work pretty well together, right? She's way smarter than me. That's all that needs to be said. That's all that needs to be said. But, you know, we work in partnership. I think you got to work in partnership. If one person is the dictator, then it just turns out to be an absolute dictatorship. That doesn't work.
And that's Jerry Jones is running amok yet again. And this comes back. It comes down to the same thing. No matter who they hire, it will be the exact same thing. And I think if you're – remember all the rumors of Sean Payton to Dallas?
Yeah,
there's a reason why he never left New Orleans.
Because he's got complete control there. Doesn't have to answer to anybody. Even Mickey Loomis is kind of like, yeah, Sean, whatever you want to do, man.
See?
Yeah.
Georgia
Frontieri, the new owner. I forgot her name. Mrs. Benson. I forgot her first name.
Gloria.
You see she got carjacked?
Isn't it Gloria Benson?
You see she got carjacked?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
Wait.
She got Grand Theft Auto'd.
I'm more surprised that she drives her own car.
I don't think so. I think it was part of, maybe she did or anything.
Like
I'm not
her
sure.
driver got strong-armed?
No. They literally carjacked her.
Oh, so she does drive her own car.
I don't know if it was she had a driver or not. Can't you be in the back of a car and get carjacked even if you have a driver?
Yeah, but...
When
I think of it, I think of like Gloria Benson getting ripped out of the car and thrown to the ground if she gets carjacked. That is, what is going on? That was in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Well, maybe she should have an armed
Driver
then.
Right?
Gail, not Gloria.
Benson. I had to get it right. I had to think. It just clicked in.
Tom Peterson and Gloria's too. That's why I always think of Gloria. You guys have no idea what that is, do you?
Nope.
No, neither of you?
No idea.
Nope.
There's a lot of people out there that understand that reference. All right, 503-250-1080, that'd be the fan text line. If they can pull it off, the Niners might have the biggest advantage this season going into divisional play. But how long will it be just their advantage? Dustin Cam on the Fan. 49ers could have a massive advantage as the divisional play and the season starts ramping up. As the state of California announced yesterday that professional sports played in outdoor stadiums are allowed to have fans as long as you are in one of the tier one or tier two of their phase for reopenings. And as it currently stands, that only applies to the San Francisco 49ers. And that could be a big advantage for them. But the Santa Clara County, where they play, immediately came out and said, yeah, no, you're not going to be able to play.
So why
with fans in the stands?
So why would the county not allow certain things? And why do you, what advantage does it mean for, because we're going to talk about why it's important for the 49ers to have fans. If the state says, okay, because we have a uniform and they're going to allow every county to kind of decide what's deemed, I don't know, what would be essential? Is that the word I'm looking for? What do they deem essential? They probably think that crowds at a small amount of crowds at the 49er game, and players are like, they're fiending for it. They're like, man, gosh, can we have some fans there? Can we have some people there to make it more fun, make it more interactive and enjoy that? And the players want it, but they want to be safe too at the same time.
Yeah. And the Santa Clara County health official that was there is like, no, we just call that a super spreader event. And it basically they're going on there's a reason why they're one of the only counties that qualify. And it's because we have really put the clamps down on large gatherings. And this would be called a large gathering. That's why we're able to be in the tier one right now, is we don't allow the large gatherings to happen. So our numbers are low enough to where it is actually feasible for us to do it. And so, boom, they're going, we're just going to stick with what's been working for us to keep our numbers low.
But if you followed protocols, if you had specific protocols where the spacing was right, masks were where, the preparation was done, you'd had maybe temperature checks on the way in or anything like that and do that, can you sit there and go, would it be helpful for the NFL to see that? Would it be helpful within the division? Would it make sense for some of these players and some of the games? Would it create a better atmosphere for the games? And would it be an advantage for the 49ers if they could find a way? And if they are the first team to get it done? Because it sounds like the county's not going to allow it. And moving forward, I don't know when.
And they would be the only county the only team, because obviously the Raiders aren't in California anymore. Mm-hmm. They're in Vegas. But this is for outdoor stadiums only, is what the California government approved. Mm-hmm. That is not the roof on SoFi Stadium doesn't open.
Yeah.
It's a clear ceiling that over the top of it. So the Chargers and the Rams, they're going to have no fans all season long.
But it is an open air stadium. Like it's not completely enclosed anyway. It's not a dome.
It's only on the outsides, but that doesn't, they consider that an indoor stadium because it has a roof on it.
Yeah. Well,
that does not open. So they're in. Are they going to consider that an indoor stadium?
Well,
because you have a roof on it that doesn't open.
I don't know what matters or what doesn't matter, but we saw that New Orleans changed. They ended up being able to discuss it with their mayor in their county. Now the Saints said, hey, we're going to go to LSU. We're going to head over to Baton Rouge and go west on the I-10. We're going to play our games there. And then the local government, whoa. Okay. All right. We can find a way to make this work and do it the right way. And makes sense. I still think that we're seeing it across the country. We're seeing it done intelligently and then unintelligently. Of course, we know that. There's both sides being done. What can the NFC West and what can we see? Because Arizona's going to end up doing it. We know that Tempe,
Arizona already doing it?
Yeah, they're already at an advantage because they're able to have fans there. And that's, you go on the road or you're an Arizona Cardinals fan, you're like, that's cool. I can go watch maybe 5,000, whatever the amount is. It's to me, it's just as safe to go watch a football game if you're going to follow protocols as it is to go to a grocery store or walk around. If you're doing your mask and doing the things and follow the rules, just as safe. So will that be an advantage for teams like the Seahawks or the 49ers moving forward? And I think it is a big advantage for teams because it brings your fans in there. And it's fun to watch, and it's great to be a player. And a fan, if you don't want to go, don't go. But if there are season ticket holders or do want to go and follow the right protocols and be safe with it, I mean,
Yep.
It's still a great experience to go do. I mean, I'd be the first one in line.
It would be a huge advantage for teams that if they could. And this is going to be the interesting one to keep an eye on, though, is that, you know, California, Oregon, and Washington have all kind of moved together in these sorts of operations decisions. And will Washington approve something for the Seahawks to have limited fans into CenturyLink?
Well, we know that you're going to be able to have parents and family for Pac-12 games. Now, it also depends on what county rules, too, also are there. But I think universities are going to allow certain aspects of that in. Yeah.
Well, the state has to approve that first.
Right. I think you're going to need to have to do this. At some point, there's going to be just a desire or a way to be able to do it and understand. If you can go to a movie theater, if you can go to a grocery store, if you can go to do that. Yeah, they are. Movie theater 25% capacity. They are in Vancouver and in the state of Washington. Wow. You can do this, and you can make it safe, and you can create protocols that will be enjoyable for fans with social distance and masks. You can. You absolutely can.
Boy, it'll be interesting to see what the other states do, because families and friends are going to be the only ones that can get in for Pac-12 games where it is allowed. It would be interesting to see if the state of Oregon is going to allow Oregon and Oregon State families in the building, mm-hmm. because if they are able to do that, and that's my other question is, why did California just say pro sports allowing fans in outdoor stadiums?
Right.
Why was it just
because
pro
this
sports.
Is all selective, Dusty. I don't like, again, we did political answers or what. It's very selective of tax revenue, because you need pro sports, because you need all those pro sports playing, because that's massive amounts of tax revenue. Remember, Mike Trout has a $500 million contract. He's got to pay his money. If he doesn't play, then he doesn't get taxed. Certain things like that. Mookie Betts is an intelligent dude. Mookie Betts is pretty smart. He keeps his address in the state of Tennessee. He's getting $65 million deferred, not taxed, by the state of California, because he's getting paid on the outside and they're playing in Texas right now. Intelligently, is that this is all about money. It's about money and strategy. So if the governments are looking at it going, all right, if we can continue to get this, we have to find ways to get revenue. We have to find ways to be safe. And on both sides, you're trying to balance this. Other states are different. There's the fluctuation of government is beyond my scope of intelligence on why it works in one area and why it doesn't work here. The same doctors are saying it works there and it doesn't work here. I don't understand it. Mm. I can't comprehend it.
Well, I mean, and that is one of the things about it is, you know, it's who is getting the bigger upper hand in the listening of advice to how you tamper down the virus.
Well,
and right
subjective.
Now, the numbers out west on the West Coast are a lot better than around the country. So there is that.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
So that is working in that regard, and it's leading to, you know, Santa Clara County saying, even though the state is going to approve the 49ers to have fans, we're not going to. And I would be shocked if we see any fans at Pac-12 games that are not family members.
That
are not
bad.
Family members.
It's unfortunate for fans that can do things. I think there's ways to do things safe. Instead of just completely saying no, I think there are always ways and protocols and strategies to come up with to try to do things. I have never been a fan of just, nope, doesn't work. There's always ways to work it out. There's ways to make it, even if it was 1,000 fans or if it was anything, something is better than nothing.
Yeah, and that goes back to that, you know, the health authorities are saying, you know, need versus want. And that's kind of where they're standing on that.
Right, and that's why other parts of this country are doing it, because they want it more.
Kind of opposing views coming in on the text line. One says that fans will drink pregame and end up making bad decisions, not wearing masks or social distancing, etc. You can look at pictures of the SEC games. Another one says it's really no different than going to a casino where they do temperature checks at the door and they require masks.
Yep, and that's indoors.
Well, don't serve alcohol at games. That's not that hard to do.
Well,
don't serve
any
of
that stuff
before like
that. They go in, and then they become. You see the Eagles
fans? Well,
what do you
mean? How do you drink before your game?
The Eagles fans found a way to fight in the stands. How do you drink before a game?
Well, if you're not tailgating, so they're drinking and driving, going, I'm not going to condone that. So if you're going to drink and drive your way in and do that.
Nobody's condoning them being idiots in a stadium either.
Well, you can't stop idiocy, man. There's going to be idiots everywhere. Are you really going to be the idiot police? That's never going to change
Well, no, but people are going to show up. Even if they're at the stadium, they don't allow tailgating, people are going to drink somewhere beforehand without driving just around the stadium.
And then
and
you
go.
Take an Uber
right.
and go.
All right, but drinking is not causing COVID, okay? Just so I just wanted to be very sure.
But drinking causes people to make bad decisions. That's what the text
And that's never going to change either. So we're not. That's not stopping. This is talking about the people that want to do it intelligently. The stupid ones out there.
Are you
going to
ask
stupid.
Them the question? Are you intelligently doing this?
No,
when you walk
but
in the
you
door?
Can't. You can't, guys. Come on, guys. Come on. You can't change one rule for one stupid group. Okay, there are a lot of smart, intelligent people out there that can do things safely.
Sure.
You can't just shut down everything because a couple stupid idiots.
We're not saying shut down everything.
What's what it sounds like?
No.
If there's some idiots that want to drink and they want to do that, fine. Weed themselves out. Go live in Philly. But there are a lot of safe, smart, intelligent people that want to enjoy football either from their house or at the game.
And I think that is where it kind of lies, is that every game is on TV now.
Yeah.
You know?
But there's nothing like going to a college football game. Sorry. It doesn't replicate on TV. There's nothing like going to a game live and the smells, the sounds, the fun of it. And when we do come back to it, it's going to be awesome. Right now, it's just it's going to be limited.
Yep. 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. Next up, we got the definitive non-negotiable ever-changing list that you wait for every week. Cam Cleland's NFL Power Rankings after Buck with SportsCenter. All right, we do it every single Wednesday at 7:30. It is definitive non-negotiable and ever-changing. Week to week, it is time for Cam Cleland's NFL Power Rankings for Week 7 of the National Football League. First, let us know. Whoa. There we go.
We had a glitch.
Before we get to Week 7.
Why?
Give us Week 6. What?
Why? I'm going to do it backwards.
Know what the changes were.
Here's the changes. The changes are starting right out of the gate. This is my list, my subjective list. What? It's all about mine, and my. Look, you can agree or disagree. No matter how this list is put, you can put your own power rankings. You can tweet at me. You can yell at me. You can do whatever you want, agree or disagree. The list is all based on the logic I'm going to put together. Now, will it be powerful enough for you to agree with? We're going to start off and find out, because coming in at number five, this team, no matter how I look at it, week in and week out, playing consistently or beating the teams you're supposed to beat is what you're supposed to do when you're a team this good and you have the best quarterback that can run the football. And every time I watch it, now they got tested, and every time you watch them, you got a little tested, you go on the road, you deal with that, but they have a great coach, a great defense, an elite quarterback that has unbelievable foot skills, but they're just not quite good enough yet to get over the top. And you'll understand why as I mention the teams in front of them. So coming in at number five, I have the Baltimore Ravens, which just like last week, they were number five. Not moving up. Staying pat at number five.
They are off this week, so very hard for them to get bumped in the bye week.
Right.
So expect them to be in the listed week 8.
Coming in at number four, this team has been, I would agree, it's the most surprising team because they have had the most stuff to deal with. They've had the most controversy thus far. And I mean controversy, COVID protocol issues, their head coach, mask violations, I don't know, for whatever you want to call it. Missing practice, practicing out of high school. They have Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. Who is this guy? Really? Ryan Tannehill. But the one and the main reason why this team is so successful is because Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is an unbelievable running back. He's the best running back in the league right now. He is so dominant at 6'3". They say he's 6'3", 247. It is a mountain of a man trying to run at you. He topped out on that run last week at 21.5 miles per hour, and he said that was too slow on that 94-yard run. So that is why I have the Tennessee Titans, because they slapped around the Bills, and then they just continue to win. Put their backs against the wall, Mike Vrabel. He says Tennessee Titans come at number four. Last week, the Chiefs were at number four.
We're at a full season with Ryan Tannehill as the starting quarterback now for the Tennessee Titans. If you go back to last year when he took over during week 7 of the season, since then he ranks second with his Pro Football Focus grade at 92. He leads the NFL in passing touchdowns with 40 yards per attempt, 8.6 yards per attempt. That is first in the National Football League. When pressured, Ryan Tannehill leads the NFL this year in touchdown passes, passer rating, and interceptions with 0. Ryan Tannehill is playing out of his mind, and he has been since he took over as a starting quarterback. I think that guy's not getting nearly enough credit for what he's been able to do.
He's playing well. I think the more we talk about it, he deserves credit where credit is due. Someone can achieve things and get a new lease on life, and that's what he's done. He's the next Alex Smith. I'm excited for him. I really am.
Arthur Smith deserves a ton of credit, too.
Yeah.
Their offensive coordinator, he's been there for a couple of years now, he's done great.
Yeah. All right. So we've had 5-4. We're going to come in at number 3. And this team, no question, should be higher. But the only reason they're at this spot is because they have one loss. And right now, you lose one game. You fell a little bit asleep at the wheel. But you're the most talented team. You added, arguably now, the most versatile back to your backfield, to a great rookie. You go on the road and you win a game in the rain? Playing your C-plus game against a quote-unquote supposed to be the next up-and-comers in the Bills. Look, the Kansas City Chiefs, I can't poke holes in anything. There's nothing I can poke holes in other than the fact that they might get tired or they might make a couple mistakes. But right now, there's no reason they should lose the rest of the season other than just falling asleep at the wheel because they're that much talented than everybody else. Now, they probably will lose a couple games because they're human, but they have beyond talent, the best talent in the league, up and down. It's exciting to watch. They got great coaches, good defense, everything about them. But they're holding out at number 3 because of that one small little hiccup. It's fair. It's my list. It's fair. So I'm going to hold Kansas City at number 3.
Okay. I mean, they're rolling. They're rolling back again. They had a loss. Nobody should expect to go undefeated. Now they get into the throes of divisional play, and they have to go on the road. It's supposed to be snowing at Mile High.
How about that? It's October. It's almost November.
It might be. That is going to be an interesting one to watch. How can they play in that cold Denver air?
All right. Here it comes. What do you do with the 1-2 slot? Who moves up? Who moves down? Well, one team jumped all the way out of my top 5. We all know who that team is. You'll get unveiled it very soon. But this team is I'm still all in on, and I'm not going to deviate from the path of how good this team is because they're proving it week in and week out. As much as you don't like Ben Roethlisberger, because some might not like it, and Steelers fans, they love him because he's already been proven and he's a veteran. He looks as good as he's ever looked physically. He shaved the beard. He's trimmed the pounds. His arm is good. He had Tommy John, whatever. I know he had that type of elbow surgery to change it. He's got weapons. This is the best set of weapons he's had since Antonio Brown left. Incredible. Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, their defense and their pass rush. Now, they did lose their star linebacker. That's going to hurt them on defense, but it's about replace. And, you know, if it was the next man up philosophy, they'd already have those guys. But the Steelers are going to be in the AFC Championship game. I still think they represent because the Chiefs might slip up against them. I don't know. It's a big prediction. But because they're undefeated and they're playing so well and their schedule sets up perfectly, give me the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 2.
Okay. Pittsburgh Steelers, number 2. I think I know who number 1 is then.
Right. So they get a week off. And this is, guys, this is crazy. It's been a long time since I've seen this, but did you notice some unique thing about this top 5 list that I have? This is the only, one and only NFC team I have. Mm-hmm. In the top 5. Of course, they're 5-0. And the reason why I bumped them up one to number 1 is because they're going to get Jamal Adams back and they're going to get Snacks here. They're going to get better on defense. They're going to have time to get healthy. That was a big, big jump. They're going to play Arizona. We're going to know if they can win those in-division games because now we get to see them in division. So this could fluctuate and change, but you can't step away from the fact they're going to get healthier. They're going to bring back the best safety in the game. It's no offense to Buda Baker because he played great, and they're going to go up against that this week. But Russell Wilson is a game changer. He's the reason why Josh Allen can't close. When you watch these teams, every one of these guys from top to bottom, their quarterbacks are playing spectacularly. They're not average quarterback play. They're playing spectacularly.
Defense doesn't bother you and concern you?
Oh, absolutely.
Having them number 1, and we're talking complete teams because they were off last week, and they're still second most yards allowed in the NFL one fewer game.
Well, you're asking me a question, yet I'm putting him at number 1 in week 6. That's why when you say, does defense bother me? No, not in week 6 because it's just one week power ranking and they're going to get the best safety and the best playmaker in the secondary with Jamal Adams back. Yeah, Yeah, I would agree that their faults and their mistakes, but everybody, I can poke holes in everybody except the Chiefs. The Chiefs, the only thing you can poke holes in, the fact is they get disinterested in a game and they make a few mistakes. They're top to bottom, the most talented team here. And then I'd probably put the Steelers next, but the Seahawks have Russell Wilson, who's playing the best football in anybody, playing the best football more than anybody.
He sure is. And right now, the Seahawks offense, for as bad as the defense is, the Seahawks offense is graded as, by Pro Football Focus, the best offense in all of the NFL. Number one.
There you
numero
have it.
Uno. And that's where I thought you were going to go, is that in the year of 2020, offense reigns supreme. It doesn't matter how bad your defense is. Bend but don't break. Give your offense a chance at the end to win football games. That's what the Seahawks have been doing.
Just put the ball in Russ's hands at the end of the game, and you got to... More often than not, you're going to have a shot to win a game.
Okay, how did the Packers go from one to done?
When you get your ass whooped on the road, 38-10, top five teams don't look like that on the road. Russell doesn't look like that. The Chiefs don't look like that. Okay, Steelers don't look like that. The Ravens don't look like that. The Titans certainly don't look like that because they stomped a hole in the Bills. When you go on the road, you are who you are. Okay, you quit. You don't go from one. That's what happens when you do it. Now, they'll probably bump back up because we're going to need some AFC. But remember, it's just 1 week.
Yeah.
1 week.
That's why it's ever changing.
Every week.
All right. Again, give us the rundown.
The immediate rundown coming into number five, the Ravens. Number four, the Titans. Number three, the Chiefs. Number two, the Steelers. And number one, the Seahawks.
All right. There it is. Cam Cleland's NFL Power Rankings. Troy Aikman wants you to know he's very sorry. He's not. Dustin Cam on the Fan. Right. Troy Aikman wants you to know he's very sorry. Somebody's getting canned in the Fox NFL Sunday truck after this audio was released almost immediately after the Packers versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers game in Tampa. This is Hot Mike catching Troy Aikman and Joe Buck before the game. This wasn't supposed to be for air. It was during a commercial break.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
And that was released, and I don't know who did it, but I'm sure that person is probably going to be fired.
Hot Mike.
But Hot Mike usually means like it's on the air accidentally, and it comes out. This was like, it was behind the scenes. It never went to air, but then somebody's like, oh, I'm going to put this one out.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why people got so fired up about it.
Really? Come on. Don't answer that. Ask yourself that simple question. Come on, Dusty Hera.
Serious. Is it because he said that's not happening on the Biden-Kamala
absolutely
ticket?
Absolutely. No question.
Oh, God.
Come really?
On, people.
You can't be shocked right now in 2020. If somebody doesn't agree with you or you say something controversial that doesn't work with someone's echo chamber,
I don't think that's
guess what happens? Guess what happens? Cancel. Cancel. Right. Cancel. Shut them down. Do everything. This is where we're at. If you don't like somebody, you know what's great about this place that we live in? I can disagree with you. You can disagree with me. And then, you know what we can do? We can go home and go to sleep and do it over and over again. And no one has to tell us that we can't do it. Now, whether you like it or not, that's up to you. But simultaneously, the inability to not have that kind of conversation and not still respect it is bizarre. It's bizarre.
Yeah, he apologized. He said, I love a flyover, but
you
shouldn't
have to apologize.
It was odd to see over an empty stadium, but I am unwavering patriot that loves this country and has always respected our flag, supported the men and women in the armed forces, as well as those in uniform who serve and protect anyone to suggest otherwise doesn't know me, my beliefs, or what I stood for my entire life. And so it's
apologizing for having a comment.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
Well, he doesn't say I'm sorry.
No, he doesn't. No, well, essentially, that's really, it's a statement.
He's saying
to
you
address.
Don't know me,
exactly.
And you have no idea what's going on here. But I don't think that what he said was wrong. Why did they have a flyover for a 80% empty stadium?
I don't know. Ask the military. Ask their directors. Well, ask the NFL. The NFL has to coordinate that.
That's why he said that's a lot of jet fuel for a little flyover.
If that was organized prior to the season, if that was which they have to organize those things to get FAA and all these approvals. Certainly, I'm not in the military. I'm just gonna. You have a lot of approvals you have to go through. I was sitting at the Rose Bowl a few years ago when Washington was there, and that bomber that flew over was one of the coolest things I have ever seen. Flyovers are cool. If that's part of the organization that the NFL did long months ago, and I would bet they set that. That's not an on the whim thought. I think they set that up months and months and months in advance to get all the protocols and all the clearances to make sure it goes through. It was already built in. And because there's no fans and no television, could they have changed it? Sure, but
they call those things off often, though.
But if we're going to pick apart wasteful spending, is that what we're going to start to pick apart? Oh, God, you're going to be in an all-day show.
Well, yes, you would.
Troy Aikman's a great man. He's awesome at his job. If he wants to vote, he wants to vote, support that. I don't care. Vote whoever you want. I love people that are on both sides of this ticket. Does not change how I think of you whatsoever. And Troy Aikman, I don't care what you say. He still does an awesome job. He's a Hall of Famer. You would be offended. You'll wake up. You'll still be okay.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put this out there. We've gone overboard with our flyovers. We have too many flyovers for games. Like, it was Packers, Buccaneers.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday afternoon game.
Why is that too many flyovers?
The Rose Bowl is badass. It's special. It means something. The Super Bowl is different. It's special. I think that the flyover gives you the magnitude of what the game is, right? The flyover is there for the fans to get them that juice, that crank it up just a little bit more. When you do the flyover for just every other game.
Do we know this
game,
for certain, Dusty, that it's whatever. Part of it? Is it just something that, don't you think what? There could be more to it? The flyover, isn't it something that the NFL organizes with the military?
Well, it goes too. We have too many games have the flyover. It's supposed to be. My thing is, it's a big game thing. It is a championship.
Oh, you're putting championship criteria on it.
Games.
Oh, I
yes.
See. Oh.
If we've gone right. too far, we've gone too far with the flyovers.
Okay.
All we have too many of them.
Too many. I like
Give
the flyovers.
Give me a damn flyover for an important game.
Important games.
Boom.
Well, what if that game gets them into the playoffs? That win. Pretty important.
Are you going to give the flyover credit for that?
Yep.
I don't know. I love the flyovers. I think they're cool, but I'm not in control of the flyovers.
Not saying that they're not
I'm not
cool.
going to be old man screaming at the wall trying
they're
to be
great.
I'm like, they're awesome. If it's there and you do that, my tax dollars at work, I like to pay taxes. I don't mind paying taxes.
We've just have too many of the flyovers and we have got the water down. It doesn't seem as cool anymore. When the flyover happens because it happens too much.
I don't see a lot of flyovers. I don't know how many flyovers are you seeing?
A lot of games have them.
You go to fly. Has there been flyover at Duck Stadium there before?
Oh yeah.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah. You'll get a couple flyovers
they're doing
every year.
Over there.
Helicopters.
Yeah, they do.
That's kind of cool.
They do quite a few helicopters.
Like
will come over.
The Apaches. They do those.
No, they're more like the Coast Guard helicopters.
Oh, okay. Right.
The long guys.
Yeah the big. Yeah, but it's always a big game thing.
How do you feel about the skydivers that come down from the games and do those?
No, deliver me a game ball via.
With all those guys doing that.
Definitely a big
game Army,
thing.
If it's Army.
Big game thing?
Army, Navy, Air Force, give me paratroopers coming in.
Paratroopers dropping in.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's awesome when you get that. But that doesn't happen very often. See? It's a big game thing.
The fact that everybody goes after it. And Joe Buck's like, eh. No. He's like, eh. I could care less what you think.
If you don't like Joe Buck because he just basically gave like a F you to this whole thing. It was like, whatever.
Spend time worrying what everybody thinks about you. Troy Aikman and Joe Buck are fantastic. They're great at their job. Love them or whatever. They're the best crew on sports when it comes to football. They are. You may not think so. There's like, no, he's bad. He's biased. Like, they're fantastic.
Ooh, you gave us a Romo right there.
Wait, Romo?
You gave us a
Romo. I haven't got much of Romo and Nance lately because they've been on weird hours or they're on the CBS game and I can't catch them. The Fox games, you're always doing the NFC game, so I'm watching more of the NFC than the AFC. They haven't got the great slate of games all the time. Usually they get the pick of the litter. Do you think Jim sits around and goes, Tony, would you like to pick the game? No, Jim, you pick it. Do you really? I believe that's how it works. Jim gets to pick the game. Don't you think?
No.
You don't think so?
Uh-uh.
You think the big execs, the top execs are picking it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's over their head. It's over their pay grade.
I don't know.
You don't leave that decision to somebody who wears a CBS sport coat.
Really?
That's a big wig decision.
I don't know.
It's a very big wig decision. All right, we had game one of the World Series last night. World Series started with the bang and a lot of bets. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.